Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Today is our third deposit, looking from the book of Psalm. We entitled this 8 Sundays on Psalm as Ignite Hope, that our hope will be ignited. And we want to look at Psalm 42. Psalm 42 has 11 verses and is either written when David was a fugitive and he was running away from King Saul, the mad king, or when his son Absalom decided that it's time that you go. You're old man now. Let me become the next king. And he rebelled against his father, King David, and David has to leave the palace with the men, fearing for their life, you know. And now, in Psalm 42, he is in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he missed the house of God. It was a practice that the Jews, the male, has to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. And now he's in the wilderness. He missed the house of God. He could not make his yearly pilgrimage to the temple to worship God. So look at Psalm 42 as we read. As the deer panted after the water brook, so panted my soul for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears has been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember this thing, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquiet within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon and from the hill Zima. Deep calls deep at the noises of your waters fall. For all your wheels and below have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to God of my life. Verse 9. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemy reproached me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquiet within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the reading of your words. We open our mind, our hearts to your words, and ask that your words of God, which is alive and powerful and true, will speak into our life, will speak into our hearts, will speak into our situation, Lord. So that, Lord, we will be able to say that we can hope in you. I ask that you anoint your servant. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. David, he's called the sweet psalmist. Don't you think it's good to be sweet in your heart? Having a sweet spirit, having a sweet attitude. David is the sweet psalmist. That's what he's been called. So he is a man who loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, and all his mind. David was never afraid of emotion. How many of you are not afraid of emotion? David was not afraid. You know, in fact, David's emotion was incredible and is expressive. He was not afraid to show or express his emotion. Some people are. They think that if you show your emotion means you show weakness. But David was a man who will express his emotion, especially to God. I don't know what is it like in a relationship between a husband and wife if they don't display any emotion at all. It would be terrible, don't you think so? Absolutely. Even if parents and children, if they don't express any emotion, it will be terrible. So David was a man who knew how to express his emotion. He knows. In fact, he sings, he shouts, he praises, he even dances. He worships and he cries. Sometimes he expressed his emotion alone with God. Sometimes it's good to be alone with God. Sometimes it's good. How many of you got what do you call the bean? Those what do you bean bag? How many of you got a bean bag at home? Sometimes it's good to take the bean bag, go to a room, and just put the bean bag at the center of the room and just sit onto the bean bag. And the good thing about the bean bag is able to capture your whole body. Just like sitting in the arm of the Father. And then sitting in the bean bag, shutting the whole world, just you and God, and tell Him your thoughts, your heart, your up and your down. He knows, but yet it's good to tell Him. So David, he's incredible, and he knows how to do all that. Sometime alone with God, he will express his emotion. Sometime publicly before God's people. If you look at the book of Psalms, David had both positive and negative emotion. It's okay to have positive and negative emotion. Some people say, no, you can only have positive emotion and nothing negative. Look, we are fallen people. We have positive, we have negative emotion. David had both, but he has more positive than negative emotion. And you may have both positive and negative emotion. Be careful that your negative emotion do not become more than your positive emotion. Because if it does happen, beware. You may get yourself into deep trouble. So when David was happy, he sing happy song. I like that song that we sang. Happy song. The happy in the Lord. That's a good song, don't you think so? You know, and in Psalm 42, was one of his sad moments. His sad moment where he felt blue. It was a moment where he was not on top of the world. He was at the bottom. He hit bottom and started to feel blue. He began to sing the blue song. The sadness of his heart. Feeling blue. I'm not talking about your favorite color. Feeling blue is B27. B27 in the color chart. And when you are in B27, it speaks about having raining day and stormy night. It's not a great feeling. If feeling blue is just for a day or two, sometimes we feel down, we feel sad. If it's just for a day or two and you get over with it, great. But if feeling blue is for 2 weeks or longer, it can become depression. Depression affects every area of our life. David, the great hero, he's called a man after God's own heart. To be called a man after God's own heart, the word man means he is a worshipper. The word man means he is a warrior. The word man means he is a prayer. That means a man like him who knows how to worship, who knows how to fight, who knows how to pray, he can feel blue. He can be in a place of sadness. He was depressed. Verse 6, he said this, I am depressed. I am depressed. If you feel blue like David, I encourage you, make an appointment with any of the pastors. We are so blessed that we have Pastor Kara, and she's speaking in Nolamara today. She's a trained psychologist, and she will be able to help you. Feeling blue, depression, is a major problem in Australia. It affects all ages, all race, all gender, and even people with high status. If you think the rich and famous are never depressed, think again. I can name you the rich and famous who took their life because of depression. You have, you can also be depressed. You don't have, you can also be depressed. Even Christian is not immune from depression. Our enemy, Satan, wants to discourage us every way possible. And then we live in a very hostile world that does not agree with us and does not make our situation easier. If you do not know how to deal with guilt, with self-condemnation and discouragement, soon depression visits you at the most unexpected moment. David said, "I am depressed." You think David is the only one depressed in the Bible? Great men of God like Moses, Elijah, and Jeremiah, they were discouraged, and their discouragement led them to depressive moments in their life. Moses, he felt the great burden of leading God's people. Their complaint, their grumble, their disobedience got into him. He became depressed, and he prayed to God, "I have enough. Take me home." Can you imagine that? Elijah, after a great victory over Jezebel and the false prophet, you think that he should feel, "Wow, I feel high. This is a great victory." He became discouraged, and fear came into his life. And then he was depressed. And he prayed to God, "Only I am left. They seek my life. Take me home." Elijah. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, you know, he suffered rejection because he warned the people of God about what is going to come to the nation of Israel. In loneliness, defeat, and insecurity, depressed hit him. And he prayed to God, "Cursed be the day I was born. Why did I come out of my mother's womb to see trouble and sorrow and end my days in shame?" One thing for sure, Christian, when we are depressed, we are not like the world. Say amen. The world, when they are depressed, they look for ways to escape. And how do they look for ways to escape? It could be entertainment, it could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be even work. That's why some people are called workaholic. But when all this high is over, actual fact, they are worse off than the beginning. But for us, when we are depressed, we have God. Say amen. We have God. Psalm 42 shows us how we can have victory over discouragement and depression. How we can beat the blue and stay in the yellow. You know what is yellow? Warm and bright. I told my wife, "I'm preaching Psalm 42, feeling blue. Do I have any shirt that is bright?" I must say, I cannot find any shirt that is bright. and that's what Psalm 42 is about, feeling bright, you know, and warm. The psalmist want to share with you how you can overcome discouragement and depression. And he want to share from this psalm three keys. It comes when you start to change the outlook of life. How you see life is important. If you see life wrongly, you get the wrong answer. So the psalmist wants to share how he overcome depression by changing the outlook of his life. And there are three keys to this psalm. And each one of these keys has one word starting. That word is called what? Focus. Focus. So, the first key to beat the blue is focus on God and not on what? On self. Focus on God. If you look at this Psalm 42, you know, 31 times he used personal pronouns. 10 times he used I, 10 times me, 11 times my. And he only mentioned God 10 times. If life is a mirror, the writer was looking at who? He was looking at himself. If you are looking at the mirror and you're only looking at yourself, he was focusing on himself and not on God. The first cause of depression is self-focus. David was discouraged because his plan has not been fulfilled. He wanted to join the pilgrim to make their annual trip to the temple, but he could not. He said in verse 4, "My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walk among the crowds of worshippers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amidst of sounds of great celebration." When you look forward to something, hope for something, or pray or plan for something, and it did not happen, it is delayed and postponed. It looks as if it will never come or happen. This can become very disappointing, discouraging, and depressing. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 12 say, "Unrending disappointment leave you heart sick." When things does not happen and you want it so much, it makes your heart sick. David's plan was not fulfilled. His feeling was not relief. Worst thing, what was he feeding on? Instead of eating his food, tears become his food. Sometimes tears are good. Sometimes tears can become very dangerous. For when he begins to make the tears his food, he falls into this place called self-pity party, feeling sorry for himself. And when he feels sorry for himself, he starts to ask. 5 times he asks himself, "When shall I come and appear before God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning?" You see, when David began to focus on himself and ask the why question without answer lead to discouragement. And if discouragement is prolonged, depression kicks in. If you look at Psalm 42, it's about himself, self-focus. A psychiatrist by the name of Carl Mennington was asked what to do with someone who was depressed and unhappy. His answer, "If you are severely depressed, do this. Lock the door behind you. Go across the street, find someone that is in need, and do something to help them." That's a good suggestion. That's a good suggestion. Because sometimes when you look at other people's pain, you will begin to see your pain is nothing. When you look at other people, how they are living with so much lack, you will begin to see what you have is a great blessing. See, it's so easy for us to be caught with self-focus and forget to focus on God. David was depressed because he expected something. His expectation was not met. His plan was not fulfilled. His feeling was not improved. His question was not answered. And so he began to focus more on himself, more on his expectation, and forget to focus on God. Verse 1. He saw a deer drinking at the brook. And it reminded him what he missed, what he did not have, what he lacked. He heard the sound of water and waterfall and river. And he said, "I'm in deep need. I'm drowning in trials and trouble," in verse 6 and verse 7. all the beauty of the nature in the wilderness. He feared to find peace for his troubled heart because he was focusing on self and not on God. Lately, Pastor Pauline and me had taken up a hobby of hiking. And we are beginning to see the beauty of nature. And one of the good things about hiking is always trying to find place where there is river and there is small waterfall. Because something about water that makes you feel, wow, it's so refreshing, hearing the sound. You know, and David was focusing on himself and on God. Look at Jesus, our Lord. When he looked at nature, he saw the Father's love and care. The Father cares for the bird, even the little sparrow that fall. He looked after the flowers. The world of nature was a window through which Jesus Christ saw the Father. But David was in the wilderness, the creation of God that's supposed to speak about his provision, his protection, his magnificence. He could not see. He only could see himself. What I did not have, what I miss. It's natural for us to focus mainly on ourselves when we are going through difficult time. But I want to encourage you, believe on Romans 8:28 and focus on the big picture of God. God is in control of all things. He is in command. Focus on God and hope in God. Because verse 8 tells us when he begins to recognize, if I focus on God, he says in verse 8, by each day, the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night, I sing his song, praying to God who gives me life. This morning, tough time never lasts, but tough people do. Weeping is only for a season. Don't prolong it or make it permanent with self-focus. Don't focus on what you don't have. Don't focus on your lack, what you miss. But rather focus on God. Instead of complaining, focusing on God with praise and prayer. Don't make life a mirror for self-focus. Rather, make it a window to see God and focus on God to find hope. Focus on God. Many years ago, I sat up there on one of the days, looking down. And all of a sudden, I cry, sitting there all by myself. Sometimes just cry. Then I begin to realize I was depressed. Nobody knows. I was up there one of the days. Why was I depressed? Because I was focusing on what I don't have. I was arguing with God and telling God, I need this, I need that. I don't have this, I don't have that. And I sat there and I began to weep and I was depressed, broken. Then I begin to tell myself, gee, if I focus on what I don't have, what I miss, what I lack, I will be depressed. Let me focus, God, on what you have given me so that I can rejoice in you. Self-focus always leads to what? Discouragement will lead to what? Depression. Focus on one greater than everything. That is focus on God. This morning, my first challenge to you is stop focusing on yourself. Say amen. And start focusing on God. The second area, second key is focus on the future, not the past. We are creatures of habits. How many of you realize that? Creatures of habits. My wife knows where I will press the toothpaste. Never at the end, but always in the middle. We are creatures of habits. And because we are creatures of habits, we tend to be more past-focused than future focus. We hang on to the past. We speak about the past. Though the past is past like water poured onto the ground and far gone in history, yet we hold on and speak about it as if it is current and present. How many of you have this problem? The past is like a broken tape recorder that keep on reminding you of your failures, your shortcomings, your hurts and pain and your disappointment. It's time to let go, release it, forget it. Otherwise, the past will bring you to self-pity. And you have a pity. And the pity is the trouble with self-pity is that you only have a pity by yourself. A party by yourself. One of the most destructive forces, self-pity, can become your close friend. There's a right and a wrong way of the past. When we see God in the past, the memory brings blessing for the present and the future. But when we see ourselves, the memory will bring regret, discouragement, and depression. The past must not be an anchor. It must not be an anchor to hold you back, to sink you, or drown you. Let it become a rudder to guide you. And say, when you look at the past, I have learned from the past. I'm a student of the past. I have learned from the past. I am wiser now. Satan loves to use your past as a weapon to trouble you. But God will use your past as a redemptive tool to build you up. No matter whatever past we have, God is in the redemptive business. David looked back at what God had done for him. He said in verse 6, I am deeply depressed, but I remember you. Even the distant Mount Hermon and the source of Jordan and the land of Mount Zizah. Though David cannot remake the past, whether good or bad, it is long gone over in history. He could trust the same God who never failed him before, who had never forsaken him before. He can trust the same God to see him through the present and the future. This is what a radio announcer say in a poem. Yesterday, God helped me. Today, he will do the same. How long will this continue? Forever. Forever. Praise his name. The answer to depression is to find hope and having hope. Hope is never on the past. Hope is on the present, on the future. Two times the writer say in verse 5 and verse 11, hope in God. We know from the Bible, our hope is not hopeful or hope so. Our hope is guaranteed. It is sure. It's a future that is secure. Our hope is not in ourselves or in our circumstances. Our hope is in the person, the living Christ who died and rose from the dead. When David felt depressed, cast out in the dump, he responded with hope in God. He looked to his future with hope because of his faith in God, who has done things for him before, who has delivered him. When he remembered how it was in the past, he said, I cannot make it. And he cried in verse 4. Now in verse 6, he said, oh, I want to hope in God. And when he remembered God in the positive light, something in him happened. Hope is ignited. Hope is ignited. Last week, I went to visit someone in the hospital, a man who cut his wrist left and right. He barricaded himself in the hospital toilet because he wants to die. I visited him. And I share the hope that is in Christ. He used to be a Christian long time ago, but he backslidden. But I remind him that God is merciful. There is still hope in God. Yesterday, I went to see him in the ICU. His countenance changed. His face changed. Because people need hope. And hope is not where you are. It's where you can be in God. The future. Our only help in the present and hope for the future is God. When you leave Him out of the picture, when you leave Him out of the picture, there are going to be many voices outside that shout to you, like they shout to David, "Where is your God? Have He forsaken you? Has He forgotten about you?" But we know from history, from God's dealing with us as His people, you as an individual, we know God will never leave you or forsake you. Remember this, God is greater than your feeling. He is greater than your thoughts about Him. Why focus on the past when you can have a great future? Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plan that I have for you." God said, "I have a plan for you," said the Lord. "They are planned for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future." If Psalm 42 was about David running away from King Saul, the mad king who wants to take his life, or if it's about his son who rebels against him, because David hoped in God, he was restored back to his rightful place. David focused on his future, not on his past. Focus on the future, not on the past. And if you want to focus on the future, somehow over here, mentally, you need to draw a line inside here and stop focusing on the past. It is gone, long gone. You cannot bring back the past. But start finding hope by focusing on your future. And your future is a blessed and a great future promised by God, prepared for you, and not only just for you, but for your next generation. God is faithful. Focus on God, not on self. Focus on the future, not on the past. The third key is focus on promises, not on explanation. Five times in Psalm 42, the writer asks, why? And why is not an easy answer. Why is not an easy question to answer? If you have children and grandchildren, with the why question, you will agree with me. Because if you answer the question of your children or grandchildren with their why, they will have another question of why. And then you answer them, they will have another question of why. My answer to my children and my grandchildren is always, finally, "I am your father and I'm your grandfather and I say so." I think sometimes God needs to answer to us the same. Don't you think so? Because we also have a lot of why questions. It's normal. It's okay to answer why when you are going to hurt or when you're going to difficult experience. But you're not questioning God. You ask question of God, not to question God. Questioning God and ask question of God is two different things. Prophet Habakkuk asked many questions, and God answered him because his attitude was one of submitting concern and not rebellious complaint. It is not fair. Psalm 42 give us a sense that the writer was getting impatient. Where are you, God? Why does not He do something? When will He start to work? It appears that everything is against Him. He said, "All your wave and searching tide swept over me." I ask myself, if God answer our why question, will that solve our feeling? Not all the time. The facts of life is this. We live by what? Faith. We do not live by explanation. To live by faith, you need to live with the promises of God. And the promises of God to us is yes and yes and amen and amen. When I see a doctor about my broken leg, do I ask the doctor to explain the makeup of my bones? The age of my bones, his procedure, the healing process? Or do I just simply tell the doctor, tell me, when am I okay to walk again? I just want to know when I can walk again. We live on God's promises, not on explanation. Explanation may satisfy the inquisitive and curious mind, but only God's promises can give us hope to heal the hurt and strength to live. The psalmist look around at nature, the sky, the mountain, the whale, the wave, and the thirsty deer. He looked around and he asked himself, why? Because he was looking for an explanation. In his self-focus and self-pity, he was asking God, please explain what you are doing. Have you looked at nature and watched the fulfillment of God's promise to them? He would have found hope for his aching heart. If he looked in Psalm 42 at nature, he looked at the deer. What does the deer speak about? As the deer panted for the water brook, so panted my soul after you. He could look at the deer and say, God, you have taken care of this deer. Your promise to care. The deer never ran out of water for his thirst. If God cares for the creature of the forest, will not he care for you? After all, you are more valuable than sparrow. You are created in his image. He could look at day and night, as what Paul has shared, the four winters, the four seasons, the day and night. He could do at the day and night, the daytime and the nighttime. He could look at it and see the promises of God's faithfulness. Day and night is promised in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. So when he looked at day and night, he could say, God, you are so faithful, because every sunrise and every sunset declare the faithfulness and prove the faithfulness of God to uphold his creation. He could look at the day and night and say, God, you promised to be faithful to me. He could look at the new promise of a new covenant. Yes, Israel goes three times a year to the temple. That's the old covenant. But the new covenant is a better covenant. Jesus died for our sin once and for all. We can worship him in spirit and in truth anytime, anywhere, and everywhere. He could have seen in the wilderness, God is still there. He could see the hills and the mountains, the promise of strength and refuge. To the Jews, the hills and mountains are the strongest and the most dependable things. The land of Jordan is the lowland. The range of Hermon is the highland. He could look at the promise of God, that God is our strength and our refuge, whether our life is going to low or our life is high. Because life has got low point and high point. Whether we go into high or low, mountain top or valleys in between, God is both the God of the hill and the valley. He is both our refuge and our strength. Even if God de-explained his act and his work to us, we will not be satisfied. Like children, we will have more questions. It is impossible for us to fully understand all that God is doing. We walk by faith, not by sight, or by explanation. Today, stop asking God and stop asking yourself why. Stop seeking explanation or reason. Simply focus on God's promise to find hope. Believe in His promises. Claim it and stand on it. Because Romans 8:28 is in the Bible, that all things will work out together for good, even when we don't know how, know why, or understand it. God says in His Word, what you focus is your responsibility. Find hope for your discouragement and depression by changing your focus. Focus on God. Focus on the future. Focus on God's promises. Change your focus with the spiritual resources God makes available to you. You can find hope and overcome any discouragement or depression. Just as what I did. In just a short while sitting up there, I decided to change my focus. God cannot change my focus. I have to change my focus. It is my mind. It is my mind to think. You can beat the blue with this closing verse in Psalm 42 verse 11, the last verb. Why are you down in the dump, dear soul? Why are you crying the blue? That's what he told himself. That's what I told myself many years ago, sitting up there. Why? The answer is fix. Focus my eyes on God. Soon I will be praising again. He put a smile on my face. He is my God. Can I get a musician to come? Why? Why? He said, now I'm going to change my focus. Change my focus. When I change my focus to God, He will put a smile in my face. I'm going to change my focus.
This is the end of the message. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.